Okay, so, Chevra, last time we learned, we began a conversation about Eid Echad, and the Chakira that we pondered is whether Eid Echad is actually Ne'eman, or whether Eid Echad is not really trusted, but Eid Echad just creates some amount of debt. And what was the case in the Torah that Eid Echad is not really Ne'eman, just creates some sort of doubt? What's the paradigmatic case?
Egla Arufa,
it just creates some sort of doubt. And where is the Eid Echad really Ne'eman? What did we say? Aguna. Right, 9/11, right? Eid Echad is really Ne'eman to say that a mace by law. What about Eid Echad by Silta? In the context of there is Kinoy and then there is Stira, and then the Eid Echad says that she is Nitmeis. So is the Eid Echad actually believed or not? What do we have to say about this one? So we had a Maimonides and his dear beloved friend Ravid. Anyone remember what the Maimonides said? Yes, ma'am.
That if a Kohen slept with his wife after she was Safik Sota,
right,
then he would get Mako.
Correct. Meaning?
Meaning that it is just, that it is not like Aguna, it is more like Egla Rufa.
That's right. In other words, for the Rambam, right, a Kohen who sleeps with his wife after there is an Eid Tumah, so the Kohen gets Malkus. And what we tried to develop last time is that the din of a Zona for a Kohen is unlike other dinin, in that Zona la Kohen doesn't require absolute knowledge that the woman slept around. Zona, or that the woman had relations, I should say, with a non-Jew, or the woman was, for lack of a better term, somehow defiled, right? Zona rather means whenever there's any sort of presumption, and therefore the Kohen would get Malkus on his, for sleeping with his wife after the Eid Tumah, because there's a presumption. However, according to the Ravid, what's the halacha according to the Ravid? Tell me.
It's for any husband, not just a Kohen.
But any husband will get Malkus after the Tumah. That means that for the Ravid, the Eid Echad is actually Ne'eman. We also pointed out that this seems to be the Rambam in a few other places, that the Rambam in Sota chapter 3, halacha 23, Perek Gimel halacha Chof Gimel, for those of you keeping score. So the Rambam writes that after the woman drank, after the Sota went through Kinoy and went through Stira, and then she drank, so the Eid Echad is not believed. Why not? The Rambam's formulation is because the din of Eid Echad is only to prevent the Shtia. Eid Echad is not fundamentally believed. Eid Echad is just believed in as much as the Eid Echad can prevent the woman from drinking. It's more similar to Egla Arufa, according to the Rambam. There's also indications to this from the Rambam in Perek Aleph Halacha Chaf, where the Rambam basically writes that in certain cases the woman can't drink the water, and because she can't drink the water, she'll remain a suffix. So, one of those cases is like the Eid Echad. So for the Rambam, Eid Echad is not believed. The Eid Echad comes and says, she had znus, not believed. The only thing is that she remains a suffix, sota, but it is an irresolvable suffix, and as an irresolvable suffix, because there's no opportunity for her to drink the water, so she'll be asura la'olam, etc., but she is not a vaday iser. This is Judaism as understood by Maimonides, but the Ravid disagrees. Hello.
Does she get a ketubah?
She won't get the ksuba because she messed up the marriage. And when she messes up the marriage, she doesn't get a ksuba. Right? But that's kind of, that doesn't prove whether or not it's fundamental ne'amanos or not. Now, Rashi, in a number of places, indicates like the Ravid. Let me give you a Rashi. Turn to 31a. Daf Lamed Aleph, Amar Aleph. The Mishnah says, Eid Echad says, Ani ve'isi ha'shenitmeis lo ha'isa shosa. Right, that's our din. And Eid Echad says, I saw that she had znus, so she doesn't drink the water. Zakt Rashi, because the Eid Echad is ne'eman ba, shiraglayim l'davar. Rashi says the aid is believed. Why? Because raglayim ladavar. In other words, l'cha ora, right? I'll just put Rambam over here, Ravid over here, and I'm going to also include Rashi over here. That they are in the aguna camp, and that the aid is really believed. Rashi writes that aid echad is believed by sota. That's his lashon ne'eman. Because it's raglayim ladavar. Let's go slowly. Ordinarily, throughout kol ha'tayra kula, I have a principle of ein davar sheba'er v'pachas mishnayim. If you want to do anything in the realm of arayis, meaning you want a get to be delivered, you want kedushin to be verified, all of the dinim ein davar sheba'er v'pachas mishnayim. Rashi is apparently telling me that, you know what, the raglayim ladavar v'sota allows us to relax the standards of ne'amanos. Usually you need two aidim by a davar sheba erva. Over here, because it's raglayim ladavar, that one aid is trusted. That seems to be meaning. Two aidim usually has full-fledged ne'amanos. Rashi says, you know what? By sota, since it's raglayim ladavar, since there's a kinui and a stira, so you're going to even trust the Eid Echad. Any question that you would otherwise have regarding the Eid Echad, you won't have anymore. Because Raglayim Ladavar gives that Eid Echad complete ne'amanos. Is it compelling in Rashi? No. But it certainly is a likely read of Rashi. You look so perplexed. It's like, I'm like looking at your face, I go,
I just don't understand what it means to say that they're believed because of Raglayim Ladavar. Meaning that means they're not really believed, but because we have reason, meaning like the odds are sort of in their favor. But it's not that we're actually trusting the aid.
But I would say, I would interpret it completely differently. I would say that Raglayim Ladavar buttresses the Kalacha aid. Usually, Eid Echad is not believed, because there's reason to doubt. Raglayim Ladavar says, you know what, there's much less reason to doubt, therefore the Eid Echad is believed. Especially coming after the words Eid Echad Ne'eman, it sounds like the Eid is believed. Why? Raglayim Ladavar. That means, according to Rashi, the Eid is believed. Is it Mukhrach? No. Is there some indication? Yeah. Yes. Yes. Right, there's some indication that I think there is ne'amanus on the Eid Echad, according to Rashi. Ladies, based on this, I would like to plug in the comment of the Mishnah Lamelech and the famous dispute that the Mishnah Lamelech makes between Rashi and the Rambam in Chapter 1, Law 14. Does anyone want to do this? Does anyone want to plug the Mishnah Lamelech in to our framework of Rashi versus Rambam? Well, I mean, again, it could be Ravid versus Rambam, but in the Mishnah Lamelech in Perek Aleph Halacha Yud Daled, he makes a machloket between Rashi and the Rambam. And if I'm right that Rashi over here is with the Ravid, so it will shtim, if you understand what I'm doing. I'm like, really, when I took Azrieli, so one of the things that they tried to teach us how to do is how to make a blackboard that the students can just look at and they'll understand everything. And as you can see, I completely blew that because I have no idea. They also try to teach us how to, you know, maintain classroom discipline. I don't know, I think teaching college makes it much easier to maintain classroom discipline. but we won't go there. Okay, now, what's the machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam according to the Mishnah Melech? Michal, how are you?
I'm good, Rashi. In a case of Yerida Chatzotama, does it have to be Sira, like that same Sira, or can be a Sira Chatzotama?
Nachon. In other words, the din of Eirach HaBetumah requires that there is Kinli, and there is Stira, and then there is Tum'ah. Okay? Rashi says that the Tum'ah has to be within the Stira. Right? Rashi writes, here let's look at a few Rashis on our Amud, Alva Batum'ah. That Rashi is like eight lines on the bottom. Ava betuma im yesh eden bekinei v'stira, v'yesh eid echad shekilkola b'stirata. The eid echad says that she had znus in that stira. So then you neman. The next Rashi, shenitmeis zok Rashi ba'osa stira. Now, according to Rashi, the tuma has to come in that same stira. For the Rambam, I have Stira, and I have Tum'ah, but they are not bracketed together. And the Rambam writes in Perek Aleph of Sota, Halacha Yudalid, Isha Shekinei Labayla, V'nistira Achar Kinui, V'harehi Omedes L'shtos, Ubat Eid Echad, V'heid Aleha, Shenivala B'fanav, Imze Shekinei La Imo, Harehi Asur Abayla. Right, says the Rambam, the woman had kinui, the woman had stira, she is supposed to drink water, but then an aid comes and says she had znus. There's an aid tuma. The Rambam never mentions, says the Mishnah Lamelech, that the tuma is inside that stira. Therefore, the Mishnah Lamelech contends that according to the Rambam, tuma can be after the stira. Not within that same stira, tuma can be after the stira. Comes along the Minchas Chinuch, and the Minchas Chinuch decides to throw a real whopper of a Chiddush for the Rambam. Minchas Chinuch says, you know what? According to the Rambam, the Tuma is not linked to the Stira, so in theory, you could have Tuma before the Stira also. For the Rambam, as long as there is this woman who had Kinoi and Stira, and there is an Eid Tuma, wherever that Eid Tuma may be, be it after the stira, be it even before the stira, says the Minchas Chinuch, that aid is ne'eman. Now, what the heck? Hey, why would it be that according to Rashi, the aid is ne'eman only inside that stira, but according to the Rambam, the aid is ne'eman even not within the stira? So I would argue, anyone want to plug it in? Or this is the kicker. We've been waiting like a day and a half for this one. Dun, da-dum, da-da-da-da-dum. Anyone? Eliana?
So I guess for the Rashi, it's not within the same time as the Raglan with Gavar, because you have no stira. So we can't like fully believe them, so it just doesn't work at all. And the Rambam is kind of like, we don't like, actually believe them, but it's enough. So
Nachon.
Enough no matter what.
Beautiful. That's what Eliana is saying is, one second, Michal. Eliana is saying, hey, you know what? If you want to really believe the aid, you can only really believe the aid, like we said, because there is Raglayim Ladovar. Well, there is only Raglayim Ladovar inside that same stira. Outside of that same stira, you don't have Raglayim Ladovar anymore. So therefore, for Rashi that you're really believed, it's got to be inside that same stira. However, for the Rambam, that you're not really believed, it's just that the aid of Tuma tells me, don't make her drink. So therefore, according to the Rambam, if it's just that, don't make her drink, so therefore, even if it's unconnected to the stira, good enough. That is the kicker, that's what ties this sugya together. In my understanding. Hello, Michal.
Yeah, can I just ask a question? I haven't thought it through so well, so like, if you have a question, it's fine. In terms of our presentation of Rashi as being in line with the Ravid, except that Rashi has the situation of Rabban, whatever it is,
It seems like you could almost explain Rashi and the Rambam oppositely based on this case.
Yeah, okay. Let's hear.
If Rashi is saying that it's that if we're saying that Rashi is similar to the Raya in the sense that Eid Echad by Tumah is more similar to Eid Echad by Aguna,
that's really believed.
So
yeah.
It should be enough to substantiate it on its own, as opposed to the Rambam. I mean, here it looks like the Rambam is substantiating it on its own with the Sira Sira Cheres.
But is there more credibility, let's say it like this, is there more credibility to the aid in a case where that aid tumah is coming within that stira, or is there more credibility to the aid after that stira? I think it's fairly obvious that the aid has more ne'emanos during that stira. Right, keenly. Then there's a stira, now she's suffix stolta. And during that suffix stolta creating stira, there's an aid tumah. So that tells me that aid has more credibility. Right? If the aid is coming after that, so l'cha'ora, there's less credibility to that aid. I think I lost you on this one.
No, I understand that, but I'm saying, like, if we were to say that in the case where...
So, I mean, what you want to say is that, according to the Rambam, maybe you're really Ne'eman, and if you're really Ne'eman, that's why you're Ne'eman afterwards.
If it's not the same Sira, you're Ne'eman, your Aegis is still Ne'eman.
But the point is, we know for sure that the Rambam writes in a few places that the Ne'emanus of the Eid Echad is only to prevent the Shtia. So once I have that, so it... But basically, I think, again, my general theory about Lumdus is that Lumdus doesn't have to be true. Lumdus has to be an organizing principle to help us remember Torah. The goal is to remember Torah. I hope that this will help us remember the Sugya. You're right. Can I really kvetch the Rambam differently? Probably. Can I really kvetch Rashi differently? Maybe. Or actually, it's probably the other way, that the Rambam may be in the Rashi, probably. But the point is, I don't want to, because this works out nicely. This is the chat. Okay, fine. Let's go on. Let's do the next Gemara. So there's a machlokes of Eliezer Rabbi Yehoshua, Beis Amid Beis. The machlokes on Beis Amid Beis is how many Eidim do you need for Kinui, how many Eidim do you need for Stira? So let's go, Chevra, quickly. According to Rabbi Eliezer, how many Eidim for Kinui?
Two.
Two, good. According to Rabbi Yehoshua, how many Eidim for Kinui?
Two.
Two. According to Rabbi Eliezer, how many Eidim for Stira? One or the guy himself, no?
Yeah.
According to Rabbi Yehoshua, you need two Eidim. Right? Rabbi Yehoshua says, here we go, Rabbi Eliezer says, you need two for Kinui and one for Stira. And Rabbi Yehoshua says that you need two for Kinui and two for Stira. Right? That's in the Mishnah. How do they get this? So the Gemara says, right, it's kind of backwards from the way we learned. First we learned Kinui Stira, and then in the Gemara we encountered the din of Eid Echad B'Tumah. But it turns out that Eid Echad B'Tumah is the trigger for everything. Because the Torah writes, Ve'eid Ein Ba. Ve'eid Ein Ba means Ba. In the case of Tumah, Eid Echad is believed, but La'afuke is some other case. So how does that work? Let's go, plug it in. According to Rabbi Eliezer, what's the Ba? What? Well, actually, well, yeah, the Gemara begins my time to Rabbi Yehoshua, no? The Tosas HaRosh is found by the Kasha. How come the Gemara begins my time with Rabbi Yehoshua? L'chor Rabbi Yehoshua makes more sense. Two Eidim consistently. We should really begin my time with Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, so Tosas HaRosh asks the Kasha. It's like a stylistic question. Whatever. Great. So the Gemara asks, my time with Rabbi Yehoshua, how come Rabbi Yehoshua says you need two and two, two Eidim on Kinoi, two Eidim on the Stira. Zachni Gemara, ba v'lo b'kinoi, ba v'lo b'stira. The word ba means that Eid Echad is believed by Tum'ah, not by Kinoi, not by Stira. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, ba v'lo b'kinoi, Rabbi Eliezer says that ba means that Eid Echad is believed by Tumah, not by Kinoi. Kinoi requires two. I am above lo bestira. Zakma astira iskish latuma. Yaseva nistira vihi nitma'a. What does iskish latuma mean? What's a hekish? What? Not next to in a very specific way. When there are two halachos in the same pasuk, that's called a hekish. Two halachos in the same pasuk is called a hekish. So the nistira vihi nitma'a is a hekish. That stira and tuma are equated. Correctly, Gemara, but kinoi nami yiskash tuma. Dufse, but kinoi es ishto vihi nitma'a. Right? Kinoi also has a hekish to tuma. So Gemara answers, hamit rachman oba, umara isa. Why are you excluding kinoi, but not excluding stira? Mistavra, stira adifa. Shekein osrata ketuma. Stira makes her usher. After the stira, she's asura and the husband. So therefore, stira is more likely to be like tuma. This is logic. This isn't hekish. Hekish is just that the two dinim are in the same pasuk. This is logic. Directly, Gemara, adarabba, kinoi adif, shekein ikar garim la. Kinoi is, how would we translate ikar garim la?
The main reason.
The main reason. The only reason why stira creates a problem is because it's a kinoi. The kinoi is the ikar garam la. It's the thing that caused the problem. Zakima ilav stira kinoi mi'ika. If not for the stira, the kinoi wouldn't do anything. I ilav kinoi stira mayahani lai. Afilu hachi stira adifa da atchalta detumahi. Stira is adif because stira is aschalta detuma. Right? Aschalta de tuma. Who wants to translate that word? The beginning of tuma. Is the stira tuma itself? Is it er anpin? Is the stira considered tuma, remember, means arayas? Is stira considered arayos according to the Talmud Bavli? No. Stira is aschalta de tuma. It's the beginning. Like rechit smichat geulatenu. The beginning of the beginning, right? Like the beginning of the flowering of the flourishing, whatever, right? So that's what the stira is. Stira is the beginning of the tuma. But I get the impression that stira is not tuma. It's aschalta de tuma. Yes.
Isn't that true for Rashi? Or at least, like, if Rashi is saying that the tuma comes directly from the stira, that's what it's saying.
Rashi is saying that the Eid Tumah is only Ne'eman within that same Stira.
And it sounds like this is what that's saying, that the Stira is the beginning of the Tumah.
No. In other words, what it means is that Stira, which we will apply a different word to it called Yichud, Yichud is the beginning of Znus. If you want to have Znus, first you have to have Yichud. It's Aschalta the Tumah. That's all it means. I don't think it means anything about the nature of the Ne'amonos of Eid Echad. Right? It just means that the Yichud itself is Aschalta de Tumah. That's the way I'm learning Talmud Bavli. What does the palace... Oh, we're not allowed to use that word. What does the Jerusalem Talmud say? What does Taisus call from the Yerushalmi Chevra? By the way, one of the interesting things about Sota is that Tosas relies very heavily on Yerushalmi. I don't know exactly why. If any of you are interested in scholarship, look up in Ephraim Orbach's book, Bali HaTosfos, and try to figure out which of the Bali HaTosfos wrote the Tosfos on Sota. I believe it's Tosas from Evra. Why they are more into Yerushalmi in Evra, I don't know, but it's worth thinking about. Okay. What does the Yerushalmi say, Chevra? Taisus calls Yerushalmi. My time to Rabbi Yoshua. Yerushalmi, mapik le mehani kroy. The Yerushalmi does not use our ba, no? Bavli basically says ba velo be something, right? That's the Bavli is playing with. According to Rabbi Yeshua, bavelo bekinoi and stira. According to Rabbi Eliezer, it's bavelo bekinoi. Yerushalmi has different psukim. My taima, it should be de Rabbi Eliezer. The right, this is like a big girsa change. The Maharsha, who was the Maharsha? When and where did he live? Hey, we know. Hey, what? He lived after Moshe Rabbeinu, before Moshe Feinstein. Maharsha was Reb Shmuel Edels. He came from the town of, I think, Krakow. The Maharsha came from Krakow, 17th century. Classical sefer, just pshat the Gemara. My understanding is that he's the Av Reb Shmuel Edels, the Av Bezin of Ustra, whatever that means. But the name Edels is an interesting name. Edel is a girl's name, a woman's name. We spoke about this, no? About how many of the, what are they called? They're matronymics and patronymics, right? So in traditional European society, the last names were matronymics. So the Be'er HaGoyal in Shulchan Aruch is Reb Moshe Rivkish. Rivkish is the son of Rivka. The Maharsha is Reb Shmuel Edels, the son of Edel. It's not a joke. Yeah. I think so. Okay, that's why I say it, because it's cool. Fine. So Zoth the Yerushalmi, quoted in Tosis. My time is Rabbi Eliezer. Maharsha changes the girsa. What's the reason for Rabbi Eliezer? You need two Edim on Kinui. But Stira does not need two Edim. Says the Yerushalmi, Ki Matzaba Ervas Davar. Erva Zuhastira. Davar zuhakinoi. The word erva refers to stira. The word davar refers to kinoi. And we learn davar davar. Davar davar tells me shnayim edim. So the thing that has davar kinoi, which has davar, it requires two edim. But stira, which is erva, does not require two edim. Okay, so let's do this. Why is kinoi called davar? Right? Kinui is davar, according to Yerushalmi, and stira is erva. Why is kinui called davar? Not so complicated, Chevra. What? It's avide dibor. I speak. How do you do kinui? You tell your wife, altistri mishploni. That is kinui. Okay, great. That makes sense. Stira is called Erba, according to Yerushalmi. What that means, I think, is that Stira itself, Yichud itself, is an act of Arayos, according to the Yerushalmi. The Bavli calls it Askalta de Tuma. The Yerushalmi is saying that the Stira is Erba. This is a big Hakira that the Mefarshim have. You know, the Torah writes, Lo tikrivu legalos erva. And there's a machlokas between Rambam and Ramban about how you understand that pasuk in the Torah, Lo tikrivu legalos erva. The Ramban says that Lo tikrivu legalos erva means don't have tashmish hamita. Don't have sex. That's what the Ramban says. The Rambam says, Lo tikrivu legalos erva includes on the Doraisa level all of the other things, hugging and kissing, etc., as well, tikrivu min haTorah, according to the Rambam. What about Yichud? Is Yichud an Isser d'Oraisa that it's considered lo tikrivu in of itself? Or is Yichud perhaps only an Isser d'Rabbanon? Or is Yichud somehow an Isser d'Oraisa, but not that it's considered kreiv ala arayis? Do the Chachonim, or does the Torah, let's assume, the Pashtus in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Lamed Vav, is that Yichud is a din d'oraisa. So when we say that Yichud is a din d'oraisa, does that mean that Yichud is another form of kreva la'arayos, according to the Rambam? So there's hugging, kissing, and Yichud. There's like, right, another form of kreva. Alternatively, Yichud might not be kreva la'arayos, it's a different iser. I would contend that this issue depends on Bavli and Yerushalmi. According to Rishalmi, that stira equals erva, I think that means that yichud is considered kreva. Yichud is considered arayis in of itself. However, the Bavli's lashon is that yichud is aschalta de tuma. You get the impression it's the beginning of the process, but it ain't the real mekoy yet. Yes.
Not that it's arayot itself, but it's
krivala
arayot. So wouldn't that be more
encompassing? So, but remember, the Rambam holds that krivala arayot itself is an isser de oraisa of otikrivu. Shulchan Aruch passes like the Rambam. That means that min hatayra, I define erva, according to the Rambam, in a broader sort of way. I say that erva does not only mean tashmish hamita. Erva includes other stuff. Lo tikrivu is the Torah's way of broadening that term called erva. If that's the case, we could argue that I'm broadening that term of erva so much that even stira, even yichud, is part of erva. There's a whole essay in Reb Elazar Shach's Sefer, the Avi Ezri. Reb Elazar Shach was the Rosh Hashiva in Panovich, no? When I was a kid, so my father was the director of what was then called the Council of Jewish Federations, which is now called the Jewish Federations of North America. So one time, like at 8 years old, like when the Who is a Jewish was beginning to develop, so we're on a trip to Israel, my father had to go meet with Rav Shach. So I come along on a trip to Panovich. I didn't understand the blasted word that was going on, but I got to see Rav Shach, which was kind of cool. I didn't understand anything. Rav Shach was actually my father's Rebbe, because in 1948, right after Hakamat HaMdina, my grandfather decided to send my father to learn in Israel. I sent him to a Zionistic yeshiva called Yeshiva Yishuv HaChadash. And the Rosh Yeshiva in the yeshiva at that time was Reb Elazar Shach, before he did tshuva and he became Rosh Yeshiva in Panovich. So he did not remember my father at all from then, but okay, what can we do? Rav Shach was like a firebrand. He was, you could look on YouTube, there's like all these videos of Rav Shach like really giving it to people. That's what he was like. He's kind of cool. So Rav Shach has an essay about whether the Isser of Yichud is an independent Isser or is a precautionary measure. If Yichud is defined as Krevala Arayis, so that means it might be a Torah's precautionary measure in some extent, but yichud is the iser, as opposed to saying that yichud is just precautionary. It's not. Is it erva mamish? Is it precautionary? I would argue perhaps that this is a machlokes between the Bavli and Yerushalmi. Why is this relevant? So a couple months ago, when I was still a shul rabbi, so two women in my community send me a text, can we call you now? So I'm like, okay, I guess so. So they had an apartment, these two women, and there was an open bed in their apartment. And the question was, someone applied to be their third roommate who was a trans woman. No? Do I have to define the terms? In other words, someone who's born male and is now identified as female, trans woman. So are these two women allowed to share an apartment with a trans woman? Or is that an Isra Yichud? What would you say? Tammy?
Depends on if you hold by less unique, for sake of Shari
Tetra. The Tzitz Eliezer.
Eliezer, yeah.
Okay.
If, like, gender.
Does it change?
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the thing. The Tzitz Eliezer says different things in different places. It's not at all clear that Tzitz Eliezer really assumes that the way I identify has halachic significance. In one tshuva, he does assume that way. In other tshuvos, he doesn't. I had a whole email exchange with Rabbi Clapper about this. I don't think the... I'm not convinced that the Tzitz Eliezer really says it. But even if he says it, that opinion is a minority opinion. And that opinion might only be true when someone is trans sexual as opposed to transgender. Meaning, did they have surgery? Right? So, without going into detail, in this case, that trans woman had not gone through surgery, Which, by the way, is very common, that people who identify as trans did not actually have surgery. Surgery is extremely expensive, etc. Often it doesn't happen. So is there an Esther Yichud? So there is one sefer in Judaism on transgender in halacha. The sefer Dar Tapuchos that was in Sophia's section at the Sfarim sale that Rabbi Weider is the one person who decided to buy. Right? We heard all the stories. Excellent. So the Sefer Dar Tapuchos is the Sefer on transgender in halacha. This guy has a lot of time on his hands. Mamish, like, although the transgender shot I had last week, he doesn't deal with. But we'll talk about that maybe later. So the Sefer Dar Tapuchos says, you know what, in his opinion, once a person is trans, that shows that the person has no attraction to... A person's a trans woman, that means the person is now attracted to men, not to women. Therefore, there's no Isser Yichud with that person with women. That's his assumption. Okay? Again, the Sefer Dar Tapuchos, let's say it again. A trans, right? He goes through every din based on this Chakira, right? Certain dinim are objectively halachos, and other dinim are precautionary measures. He says, oh, Yichud is a precautionary measure that you shouldn't have Tashmish Hamita. Therefore, if someone is trans, right, you never thought we'd be discussing this in Shir tonight, did you? Ha ha. Right? But if someone is trans, says the Sefer Dar Tapuchos, someone is trans, that means that this person identifies as female. That means that she is not attracted to females. Therefore, there's no Isser Yichud. That's his assumption.
Is that scientific measure?
No.
No, not at all, in fact.
Yeah. This is... I think that the same thing with support, saying that, a gay male who isn't trans, who's not attracted to women, that could be the same thing.
Right. So would we say, so one of the first conversations I had with there was a large olam of LGBT in the shul that I used to be the rabbi of. So one of the first conversations I had with, one of the guys asked me, for me, obviously, Nagia isn't mutter. I'm like, huh? He was like, yeah, because, I'm totally not attracted. So first of all, I don't think it's actually true. There is a degree, there's a spectrum of people. I'm on tape now, so maybe I will leave it like that. But let's just go back to trans for a second, because obviously this is, a safe topic to discuss. So the Sefer Dar Tapuchos argues that when you're a trans woman, you're no longer attracted to women, and therefore there's no Isser Yichud. So I think it's problematic for two reasons. First of all, it's problematic as a matter of halacha. I'm not sure that the Isser of Yichud is a precautionary measure. It might be an Isser that's objectively considered tikrivu. My understanding is that 99.9% of poskim, perhaps there's a Tzitz Eliezer who is not included, but 99.9% of poskim assume that the sex, the biological sex that you were born with, is what you remain for life. So if you're born female, you remain female. You're born male, you remain male. That doesn't mean that all dinim apply. Certain dinim might be precautionary measures. But I don't know that Yichud is a precautionary measure. Certainly, according to my take on this Yerushalmi, that Erva Zu Hastira, I would say it's an independent Isser. No Saf Al Kach, let me tell you another transgender story. A few years ago, so a woman in the shul comes to talk with me that she's thinking of transitioning to become a man. And, I have no idea what to do with this. This is, way beyond my pay scale. So I call Chaim Rappaport. He is the expert on this stuff. So he's like, oh, you're very lucky to get me. I'm on the safari in Zimbabwe. Thank you very much. That's great to know. And thank you for picking up the phone. So Chaim Rappaport, first of all, he's very good. He's very good. So he explains to me, you have to realize when you deal with someone in the process of transitioning, just the intense emotional turmoil that these people are going through is beyond anything. This is a person who actually hates themselves. They hate the way they were born. The intensity of that feeling is something that should just, anyone who's dealing with someone who's trans, just have to deal with it very, very, very carefully. That was his first ta'ara. Okay. So I had a few meetings with this woman who's thinking of transitioning to become a man. And then a couple of months later, she comes over to me. I don't know what the preferred pronoun is now, comes over to me and say, "Oh, Rabbi Schwartz, by the way, I'm dating a guy." So I'm like, "Wow, that's really interesting. Does that mean that you decided not to transition?" So says, no, but I'm dating a guy the way a gay man dates a guy. Now this is hard for me to fathom. I trust that that's his experience, but it's very hard for me to understand that type of thing. But I'm only bringing that story up because of the point that you mentioned before. Lav dafka, because someone is trans, does that mean that they have no attraction to their, right? They have no attraction to people of the opposite gender to which they were born. So I have two problems with the Sefer Dar Tapuchos. The equation between, again, transitioning is like very, very complicated in halacha. Just once we're talking about trans, I'll tell you my last trans story, which is I'm still going on. This is in honor of September 15th, I guess, that like we're talking about these things. Not that I have any opinions here. But so 2 weeks ago, I'm on the Din Torah. It's called a get timing hearing. Get timing hearings are that when someone signs a prenup when they get married, so the prenup basically says that first and foremost you have to come into Beis Din when your marriage begins to fall apart. And usually what happens when they come into Beis Din is that we persuade the husband to give his wife a get, because it gets very expensive not to give a get once you have a prenup. Now I think it's $250 a day adjusted for the consumer price index. By the way, everyone should sign prenups. Okay, fine, next. Now, so you come to Beis Din for a prenup. You come to Beis Din for a get timing hearing based on the prenup. So this couple who shows up, both are dressed as women. And the Baal was trans. The husband is now identifying as female. So the Shaila comes up in the get. How do you write the names? Because in the get, generally speaking, we write the name that you were born with and the name that you are now called. So I'm born Ezra Yair. I'm Ezra Yair Demiskeri Ezra. No, because people call me Ezra, they don't call me Ezra Yair. Everyone besides my mother, right? No one calls me Ezra Yair. Great. If you're named Ezra and you're called Edward, so then you would do Ezra HaMechuna Edward. Mechuna is when you go from a Hebrew name to a non-Jewish name. Demiskeri is you go from a Hebrew name to another Hebrew name. For a woman, you do Demiskaria, not Demiskeri. Well, this guy, right, had one name when he was male. Actually, two names. It was actually Avram Shlomo. And then now it is female. Now identifies female. So do you have to write the original name or not? It says in Shulchan Aruch that when the original name is an offensive name, you don't write it in the get. For example, if someone, or if even if it's not the original name, any name that's really offensive, someone has a shame that's a shame mumcha of Nachrim, someone is called Christian. So you don't put that name in the get, no? Most Jews are not called Christian, correct? Anyone know a Jew called Christian? I don't. Jesus. It's not like a common Jewish name. So if you have that type of name, we don't include it in the get at all. The shaila is, do we have to include the original name in the get? And if we have to include the original name, do we then do a demiskeri, which is the way you would go from male to male other name, or a demiskaria? So this is, the Sefer Dor Tapuchos does not deal with this shaila. This is like a practical shaila. It turns out we haven't yet done the get for various reasons. I hope the guy will show up for the get. It's not so pashat. We couldn't get the get done that night. But that's my other story that I have to tell. Okay. So again, we all got here because you... But there's a perfect logical line, okay? Bavli says that it is Ascalted the Tumah. Yerushalmi says Erva Zuhastira. And this, of course, leads us into the Sefer Derech Hapuchos and the analysis of the nature of the Isser Yichud. Okay, Chevra? Look at that essay, if you want, in Perchof Beis of Yisurei B of Rav Shach, the essay in the Sefer Avi Ezri, where he discusses this. And we should have a good night and a good Shabbos, and totally random, what can we do?